titles of Jesus Christ, who was born, who was given to us for everything. I mean, there is not a single area of our lives, not a single space that he doesn't fill and he hasn't the answer for. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the prophet said. And the government will be upon his shoulder. That means the authority, the rulership will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I seldom discuss or talk about movies in my messages, because we know that that's entertainment and that's play acting. But there is one, an old Christmas classic. It's called It's a Wonderful Life. And I don't know if you have ever seen it, but James Stewart is the main character in that movie. And there's a profound message that comes through in this whole story of his. And it's actually perhaps a question that is asked in this movie that underlines the very purpose of that story. And that is, what if you would have never been born? And to him, the angel that shows him this, shows him life without him, the world without him. And he is all up in arms about how terrible it would have been if he wouldn't have been born. He would have had no family. He would have had no wife. He would have had no work, no purpose. And a lot of people would have been untouched without his life. And I have often asked myself, what if my parents would have had only 11 children? I mean, they had 11 before me. I was number 12. And not only that, my sister that was born before me, shortly after the birth, they discovered that something was wrong. And they discovered that she had Down syndrome. And they could have said, this is enough. We have 11, and the last one with the Down syndrome, the next one is going to be a bigger risk than ever. But I wouldn't be here if they would have stopped right there. I've often asked, what if my parents would have only had 11 children? There's certainly things that we don't take lightly, and we shouldn't take our life lightly. We shouldn't take our birth lightly. Things certainly would be different if we would have never been born. And I think it's also in place to ask this question, what about all those millions of children that were never born because of abortion? Because of the selfishness of a mother who said, I want to end this life. This is only a fetus, like the world says. Life is worthless, and these millions and millions of children. Now, I know there was an old grandmother that once asked me, when I said something about it, and she said, oh boy, we would have to feed so many more children. I said, no, they would work, they would feed themselves, they would be like we are. How come they would be considered less than we are? And I remember old President Reagan used to say, he noticed that all those that are for abortion, they already have been born. Now they can say, oh yeah, I'm for abortion. The woman has the right to end her child's life anytime she wants to, as long as it's not been born yet. What if all those aborted babies would live today and this silent Holocaust wouldn't happen? Loved ones, a birthday is a big thing. That's what the Bible says here. A child is born. Well, that was nothing new. But this child had potential. What would history be like if Jesus would have never been born? Where would we be if Jesus would have never been born? If God wouldn't have decided to select Mary to be the mother of His Son, I think our calendar would be different, because we go by since the time of Christ's birth. Now it's called current era. The current era is from the time of Christ's birth till now. There would be no Saul of Tarsus or no Apostle Paul. There would be no New Testament. There would be no Martin Luther to be a reformer, to stand up against false teaching and to stand up and proclaim the Word of God. There would be no Church of God, no Reformation, and there would be no Concordia Avenue Church of God. We wouldn't be here if Christ wouldn't have been born. So the physical proof that Jesus has been born and that it meant something big is that we're here today and we have this hope in Jesus Christ. We have this hope of eternal life. We know that above every suffering, every pain, everything that stands in the way today, everything that can discourage us, everything that can weigh us down, all of that can be overcome because Jesus was a child. He was born. I want to focus more on the Prince of Peace that has been born and how this enriches our life. And as we look into the world today, and recently heard about this tragic incident of the shooting at this school in Connecticut, we have to ask ourselves, is peace possible in our day and time? And there's all these arguments about gun control and gun violence and all of that. And we have to ask ourselves, where is the evil? The evil is in the heart and mind of people. It started with Cain in the Bible. He committed murder and killed his brother. And we have to ask ourselves, as our country or the modern countries, as we are engaged in a cultural war on both sides, and both sides believe that they're right, and we're battling each other, and we want our agenda to be promoted, our agenda to win. Now, of course, you know, in my opinion, the conservatives are usually, most of the time, they're right. But it's because, not that I'm a conservative, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer first. But we are in this world where this cultural war is going on. We may not fight each other physically, but there's a war going on. Is peace possible? Is peace possible within ourselves, within our homes? A lot of people are not at peace with themselves. They're totally disturbed. They're totally I want to use this German word. It's so fitting. Sometimes you can't find the right English word, and then you have to use a German word. It means aufgewühlt, inside restless. You're restless, and you're just stirred up, and you have no peace. People are very restless in our day and time. Is peace possible? Well, let's listen to one guy. He said this. He was seeking peace, and he was seeking some kind of inner peace with himself, that he would be at peace with himself. So he says this, "My therapist told me the way to achieve true inner peace is to finish what I start. If I start something, I need to finish it. So far today," he says, "I have finished 2 bags of chips and a chocolate cake, and I feel better already." So is that the best we can do? Is that the best we can do to make peace within ourselves? Is that what Jesus meant when he said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace? In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." In other words, if we focus on Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace, and we follow Him, we can be of good cheer, even in the midst of trials and tribulations, because Jesus, the very presence of His person, is our peace. Praise God. Jesus promised us that He would leave us peace in John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So as believers, we don't have to be troubled. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be aufgewühlt. We can be at peace in Jesus Christ because He is our Prince of Peace. God wants us to have peace with God and with others. It is not possible to have peace with others without the peace of God first. And it all starts in our hearts and our relationship with God, very personal. And having peace with God goes back to what we discovered over the past year, what we heard in the messages, that it is all about our relationship with Jesus Christ personally, our reconciliation with Him. We have a peace treaty, if you will, with Jesus Christ. And that peace treaty is in our salvation in Him. I want to read two scripture verses and then go on to some other thoughts concerning this subject. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20 and 21. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth and things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has He reconciled. That means that Jesus came into this world as the Prince of Peace to reconcile us to the Father so that we would have that peace which the world cannot give, which you and I cannot produce, but only God in Jesus Christ can give it to us. That we can say, all is well. All is well within my heart. As the songwriter says, it is well with my soul. That's what you and I need to be able to say in this Christmas season. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Prince of Peace. What about our control over our own destiny, like the world says? We need to have control. We need to control our destiny. And I believe a lot of people fight God for control all the time. They want to stay in control. And I believe a lot of Christians that have this conflict with God constantly, that they're not, they want to be in control, and they have this problem of trusting God to be fully in control. Now the Bible says here that His very name, the name of the Son that is born, His name is Wonderful. Christians accept the counsel of worldviews and secular society very easily nowadays. Those views, secular views, are taught in the schools. And if you go against the grain, it's like, no, you can't do that. And so Christians have, I would say, oftentimes resigned to the fact that we need to reconcile the worldview with the Christian view and somehow come to a middle ground. For example, evolution, you know, that partially it's true and partially it's created. So let's mix it. And we can't do that. So oftentimes we're influenced. Our education system is geared toward pushing God and Christ out of the equation and from the opinions and beliefs that God doesn't even exist. There's a lot of anti-God teaching in our society, and it's not that it's so obvious all the time. It's in a very subtle way. God is not there. Jesus, no. As long as you steer clear of Jesus, steer clear of God, and then you're kind of sailing through the world. How? Jesus is the wonderful counselor. Who do we go to when we need counsel? We will never experience and live lives to the fullest unless we listen, hear, and follow the wonderful counselor, Jesus Christ. In our self-absorbed culture, seeing Christ as the wonderful counselor is very difficult. And for many people, it's impossible to see Jesus as the wonderful counselor. But listen to the book of Revelations, where Jesus gives very clear counsel. Listen carefully. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, I don't need anything. Isn't that how self-made people live today who are successful? I'm rich, I become wealthy, I have no need, I don't need anything. I don't need anybody to tell me what to do. I'm my own boss. I decide my destiny, I decide how I live. That's the order of the day nowadays. But here, this church had come to that point where they were very self-satisfied. And then it says, Jesus says, you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That means that sometimes we are not aware of our real spiritual condition. Sometimes God wants to awake us through incidents, through personal encounters. Maybe He allows things to come into our lives where we should examine our lives for a change. I mentioned in the German service that I read a chapter in a book where it says we live in a society today where people don't examine their lives anymore. They don't examine where they stand. But Christ is there to give us counsel. In verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. That means spiritual gold, spiritual treasures that are above anything earthly. That you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. That's the counsel God gives us. That we go to Him for our riches, that we go to Him for our healing, that we go to Him for our eye salve, what we need to know spiritually. The illumination of our spiritual life, of our hearts and minds. And loved ones, this Son that is given is also the mighty God. It is really true, or should I ask it this way? Is it really true that God can do anything? Can He make a way where there is no way? Can He really move mountains and raise the valleys in our lives? Well, Jesus said this. With God, all things are possible. And then He said before He left this life, He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. In other words, I have the authority. I can overrule anything that sets itself against you in your life. But you ask yourself, what about this disease? What about this cross that I'm bearing? Yes, we all bear crosses. Those crosses are not our enemies. They're good for us spiritually. Sometimes God allows things to get us on our knees. God allows things to get our attention that we will finally listen to Him. And He will speak to us if we truly, honestly, sincerely listen. Today, God is more powerful than your temptations. God is more powerful than your discouragements and all the evils and struggles around us. God is more powerful in Jesus Christ. He is the mighty God. Not the mighty dollar, but the mighty Lord is in rulership. He is our everlasting Father. And this is so important that we discover Jesus as our everlasting Father. You see, our identity and our belonging is very important. We belong to God's family if we are born again. We belong to Him if we have accepted His salvation offered in Jesus Christ. Do you suffer from an identity crisis? Do you feel left out, lonely, anxious, and unfulfilled? Then come to the Father. Jesus came and said, "Whoever sees me sees the Father, for the Father and I are one." Jesus is the everlasting Father. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed onto us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him." If we know Jesus, we know the Father. And that is the love He has for us, that we would be called children of God. We're not destitute. We're not a nobody. We're not some unimportant being somewhere that can be sniffed out and nobody will ever notice. No, we have the attention of God the Father when we are His children. He is our everlasting Father. He is our Prince of Peace. And loved ones, security and well-being, knowing that all is well, no matter what comes our way, is the best way to celebrate Christmas. Knowing that He is my peace, He is my everlasting Father, He is my mighty God, that He can move mountains even today, the mountains of worry, the mountains of anxiety, the mountains of work, whatever responsibility we have or the stress that you may have, all of that God can take away and give you that peace that is above all understanding. "When peace like a river," this is what the songwriter says, "attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, then my soul can sing, it is well with my soul." And that is the message today. Is Jesus Christ your peace? Has He really enriched your life? You see, Christmas is about who God really is. But it doesn't help us until we discover that He is our personal God, until we give our hearts and our lives fully to Him. Unless we do that, Christmas is going to, we will miss out. It's not going to help us any. The presents, they come and go. The joy, it's very short. And then we're destitute again. Celebrating Christmas is about experiencing Christ in worship and who He really is. And that's my prayer this Christmas. Not to just celebrate Christmas, but to personally experience Christ all over again. Know that He really is. And to devote my life only to Him. To be totally loyal to Him. To have Him as my personal, wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. I want to challenge you this morning. Which area of life is currently robbing you of peace? Maybe peace with God, maybe peace within, or peace with others. Peace in your marriage. Is there trouble anywhere? As the songwriter says, we can bring that to the cross, to Jesus Christ, to the Prince of Peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding," which is above all our comprehension, "shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." May God bless His word. Amen.